Double waters. Maybe things are going to get hot. You know, there's no place like home. I mean, you may know that those of us who speak here, we do the dress rehearsal at Hillview. You guys get the production message. You know, not so long ago, I watched a three-part documentary. It was titled The Rise of the Nazis. The description reads, "See how Adolf Hitler and the Nazis rise to power. In 1930, Germany is a liberal democracy. Just 4 years later, democracy is dead. Germany's leader is a dictator, and the government is in the hands of the Nazis. 4 years is all that it took." I mean, this isn't ancient history we're talking about. And the German followers of Jesus would be in a time of decision. Are you prepared? Are you ready for a time of decision? You know, you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. That'll be our primary text this morning, but before I read it, I'd like to review some of last week. I mean, this will be the teaching part of the message, and then we'll get into the preaching part. Maybe have your water nearby. I have mine. You know, the series we've started with Rick last week is titled God and Government. And we know God has chosen to organize his world through delegating his authorities. His authority. Rick said last week that authorities are those who make the rules. They make the rules and they enforce them. In authority. We know that eventually all the authorities will have to answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, God has created many spheres of authority, not just government. That's one. And for us as Christians, how we're going to respond to these authorities in our lives, and we have multiple authorities in our lives, takes wisdom. You know, sometimes things are black and white. You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. Pretty black and white. But then sometimes things are gray, where authorities are overlapping, where we feel the tug, where there's a conflict. And we know no man can serve two masters. You know, the church in Nazi Germany would find itself in conflict. Jesus Christ, we know, is the head of the church, not Adolf Hitler. What would you do in a time of decision? Are you ready? Nebuchadnezzar was a king. He had a kingdom. God used him. God uses authorities, good and bad authorities. But Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a god requiring worship. He made a big statue, wanted people to bow down. The friends of Daniel were in a time of decision, weren't they? Would you have been standing there in a field full of people knowing what it might cost you? Are you prepared for a time of decision? You know, we've experienced some novel government mandates as of late. Novel, new. I mean, it used to be obvious to me, like, what bathroom to use. I mean, we all have those fond memories of Zoom church, right? In your pajamas. I mean, was our government overstepping the sphere of its authority and requesting that we stop meeting indoors for a season? You know, when is it appropriate to comply with the governing authority, and when is it appropriate to be non-compliant? Good question. You ready to answer it? You know, I'll just set expectations. We're not going to be able to address with any specificness the multitude of situations you're going to find yourself in where you're going to have to answer that question. To what authority am I going to be loyal? What is the right thing to do? And when should I be non-compliant? You know, I prefer that word to say that versus when am I going to be a rebel? Or when am I going to be defiant or a rejecter? You know, I think as you review the examples in Scripture of individual saints, followers of God, you wouldn't see rebelliousness, or they weren't insurrectionists. They were non-compliant. One last teaching point, and then we'll get into the meat of things. You know, God allows evil and unjust authorities to exist. You know, there's a difference between the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. You know, Pharaoh, we know him. He was an unjust authority and in defiance to the will of God. Did God use Pharaoh? Was he glorified through this unjust authority? Romans 13, verse 1. I'm just going to read the first sentence. Maybe your blood pressure will go up. Let every person, or every person is to be subject to governing authorities. Any grinding of teeth? I mean, I remember hearing Nate Bramson say at the retreat, you know, we Americans, we struggle. We have a problem with authority. Let every person, or every person is to be subject to governing authorities. Those are the exact words that I read, Romans 13, verse 1. You know, I'm going to tell you a story that might help break up the soil, let the seed penetrate a little deeper here. You know, if you already have found your fist clenching or you're unlatching the safety on the weapon of non-compliance. You know, when I was a young believer, I used to feed on the pure milk of the Word of God. I mean, you know how, seeing Sanjay over there, Allison would know. She knows how babies yearn for milk. It's nourishment. It's food. And, you know, I'm an older guy. I mean, I didn't have a smartphone that I could whip out between classes at San Jose State or on the bus as I was commuting to my part-time job and read the Word of God. I had to pull out a paper New Testament. And I don't have it here today, but I look at that. I've kept it. It's precious to me. It's soiled on the binding. You know, I need a magnifying glass to read it today, but I love the Word of God. And God uses the sword of His Word to change our thinking. You know, we're rebels at heart, really, aren't we? And to be told, be subject, to submit. It doesn't go down so naturally. And maybe as I was reading this little New Testament, you know, that this scripture, I can imagine just like, you know, I need a little extra water to swallow that one. I mean, that's a jawbreaker of a pill. You know, in your youth, it's like you don't submit. You conquer, right? You don't tap out. It's over when you tap out. You're the loser. You know what's going to change our attitude to this sentence in Romans 13:1? The knowledge of Jesus. You know, Jesus taught. You know what he taught. So easy to preach to you guys because you know your Bibles. Turn the other cheek. Jesus taught. The least becomes the greatest. Jesus demonstrated it's the humble bondservant, the bondservant who becomes the exalted one at the end of the game. And Jesus himself would say, not my will. He submitted to the will of his Father. You know, we should aspire to the same. To submit. To be subject. Yeah, it's easy to God. But how about the other authorities? God-appointed authorities, we're going to see. He has placed in our life. You know, one authority I had to learn to subject myself to as a young believer, I mean, there were verses that so bothered me. I started to question the inerrancy of Scripture. God dealt with that one Saturday morning. I mean, let's not say we trust him and we don't trust what he says. You know, what may seem unreasonable to the flesh, and it does at times seem unreasonable, by faith in God's word, in his revelation, we need to act. Revelation trumps reason. Let me say this pretty forthrightly. You know, we Christians should have a reputation of being in compliance with our own scriptures. Amen? We Christians should have a reputation for being in compliance with our own scriptures. And our scripture this morning says what? Every person is to be subject to governing authorities. You know, sadly, I sense, perhaps as of late, but that the Gentile world might have a different view of certain Christians or certain churches that are in the news. You know, we're the light of the world, but in the eyes of some Gentiles, the church is the blight of the world. Sad. You know, some have tarnished our reputation in regards to being subject to governing authorities. You know, ask yourself, how are you viewed by the unbelieving world and being in compliance with your own scriptures and being subject to governing authorities? You know, as God would have it, I'm on jury duty right now. I mean, but records would show I'm required to call after 5 o'clock every day, except weekends, and be prepared to report to the court the next day. So far, I'm 5 for 5. No, I think 6 for 6. 4 to go. Be subject to governing authorities. You know, are we building bridges, Christians, or are we building walls? Are we, through our actions, who are asked to be at peace with all men, actually causing some, when they hear that you're a Christian, to put up their defenses? You know, I fear some churches, they're celebrating some short-term victories within the echo chamber of their own congregations. And they don't realize they've made themselves odious to the very people they're commissioned to reach. I mean, we need wisdom in how we apply this scripture. And we need wisdom in resolving the tensions that exist when we have multiple authorities that seem to be conflicting, making requests of us. I'm going to ask you a question. This will really perhaps move it into high gear here. Can your freedom, we value that, right? Can your freedom actually be increased by being subject? Seems like a paradox, doesn't it? Hey, we're Christians. Don't we live with paradox? I mean, when does the least become the greatest outside of the realm we live in, right? Can your freedoms be increased by being subject? You know, we have scriptural examples. Daniel, Nehemiah, they were respectful toward governing authorities. Did they attain freedom through being subject? And they were like ruling major parts of kingdoms or building kingdoms. You know, when, you know, Brian goes to Soledad, when would the chief jailer, do they have a warden there? When would the warden turn the prison over to a prisoner? That happened at Soledad? You know about Joseph. He ran the show there. How's that? Could his freedom have been increased by him being subject? A trustworthy servant? I'll be straight with you. You know, there's plenty of scriptures that take faith apply. They're not easy, but aren't we all about faith? Isn't it that faith that pleases God? And yes, even when a biblical authority is unjust, there are times you should comply. Now, let me illustrate this. There was when I was young and in the Boy Scouts, I mean, we had these awful canvas tents. Rick might remember. I mean, they were like awful. They were heavy. They weren't even completely waterproof. I mean, it wasn't like 2 flexi poles and pop, you know, you got a storm-ready tent. I mean, these things, you had to peg them down. You needed to run a guy rope off the front, one off the back, and if it was windy, maybe additional ones. And it required all those pegs and ropes just to keep that thing standing. And if you put pegs just on one side or roped it down on one side without the other, no way would it work. Well, I think scriptures are like that. They peg us into place. They keep us, and sometimes there is that tension that we feel, right? But it's to strengthen, you know, as I say, to hold up the tent of our spiritual understanding so that it's storm ready. You know, we'll have other messages in this series that don't talk just about submitting unconditionally to governing authorities. But this is the text we have today. So consider that one peg. You probably know of other pegs. I already alluded to Daniel's friends, right? They did not comply. Let's just dig a little deeper into our verse here. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. Every person, no exception, is to be subject. That's the word in Greek, hupotasso. We know about this word. Parents know. Children, Abby woke up, be subject to your parents. Right? Same word. The church is subject to Jesus Christ, our head. Young men are to be subject to their elders. Actually, all of us should be subject to our elders. And every person is to be subject to governing authorities. Governing authorities being those of higher power, those of higher ranks. And it's not just we're subject to the office. We're subject, we'll see in verse 3 when we get there, to the rulers, to the individuals who occupy those offices. You know, Paul's writing this letter to Roman Christians, the church in Rome. You know who was the boss in Rome? Emperor Nero. I mean, as the Spirit of God inspired Paul to pen those words, be subject to governing authorities, he would have understood, I'm asking my brothers and sisters in Rome to be subject to Nero. You know, if you know anything about Nero, he was not a good guy. He had his own mother killed. Does that give you some kind of gauge as to where he was at? When a section of Rome burned, he blamed it on the Christians, and a persecution of Christians resulted. And he writes the Roman saints to be subject to the governing authorities. Paul himself, when he was in Philippi, some people accused him of something. No trial, right? The magistrates of the city beat this guy. Beat him and Silas, and Paul received many blows and was thrown into jail. He writes, be subject to governing authorities. I mean, we have it easy here. I mean, if you want a shoulder to cry on, if you're whining about our government mandates, I'd say, think about it in light of what the early Christians we're going through. You know, they had an additional struggle. The Caesars, the emperors, were worshipped as gods. Is that going to create a problem for Christians? You know, that practice started with Caesar Augustus. You know him. We read about him usually every Christmas. Caesar Augustus decreed, I'm going to take a census of the whole world. I'm Caesar Augustus. You know, the whole world. So Mary and Joseph, being of the house of David, had to leave Nazareth and travel to Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus decreed it. Were they compliant or non-compliant? I mean, think about it, moms. Is that your aspiration as a first-time mom? Let me give birth in a stable. and place my newborn son in a manger. You know, I ponder if Mary and Joseph actually realized by being in compliance, they were fulfilling a prophecy. You know, I'd appeal to you, Christian, before you undertake resisting a mandate from governing authorities, collect a broad set, and there is a broad set. Rick studied this out. There is a broad set of examples in Scripture where believers or those that have faith in God are either compliant or non-compliant. Collect them up. Set those pegs around the border of your tent and improve your spiritual understanding. You know, yet we read very soon after that incidence of compliance, there's another peg and another guy rope that countertensions that. Herod the Great, what a name. I think he thought he was the Great. I mean, imagine this. I want every boy, 2 years old and under, in Bethlehem and its vicinity, executed. I mean, do we live under a government like that? And Joseph has a dream, and he knows, I will not comply. And in the night, he, Mary, and our Lord Jesus escape to Egypt. You know, Peter writes words similar to what we've just read in Romans 13. It says, submit yourselves to the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to king as to one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers or the praise of those who do right. Peter and Paul, fighters, are both saying, submit yourself and be subject. You know, but the person I'd appeal to you most to study is Jesus. Study him. Follow in his steps. You know, when Jesus had an injustice done to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, a cohort of Roman soldiers is there to arrest him. He has 12 legions of angels at his disposal. What does he do? He allows himself to be led away, bound in submission to his Father. He submitted to government authorities. You know, I'd suggest too, as you study Jesus, you'll see a difference, and it doesn't surprise me in retrospect, you'll see a difference between how he responds to religious authorities to how he responded to Roman authority. There's a difference. And the reason for the difference, I would summarize as he was much more concerned about his Father's house than he was about the temporal kings and kingdoms of this world. Let's read our whole text here, verses 1 through 5. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists an authority is opposed to the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a servant of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is the servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Verse 1, for there is no authority except from God. God is at the top of every org chart. All authority flows down from him. You know, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was at the top. I think 7 years of eating grass kind of changed his mind. And it says he lifted his eyes to heaven. Oh, I'm not at the top, right? I lift my eyes to heaven, and his reason returned to him. And existing authorities, verse 1 says, have been established by God. This word could be translated appointed by God. You know, the establishment of authorities is within the permissive will of God. The outcome of elections within the permissive will of God. You know, we know the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God for Israel was that he be their king. That was his perfect will. But they whined and they wanted to be like the other peoples. And God makes a concession and says, okay, I'm going to warn you. You're never going to have a king like me. And so they get Saul. And Saul, you know, at times, I would say he's typical of governing authorities or authorities. At times he served the people, and at times he served himself. You know, I've just come to expect that. At times, governing authorities serve the people, and at times they're serving themselves. Yet God works through these authorities for his own means and ways. You know, God is sovereign. We can't let go of that. God is sovereign. He has deposed kings and has elevated kings throughout history. I mean, a king can be feasting one day. We were in the book of Daniel, and the writing appears on the wall. Bye-bye. It's that easy for him. You know, if you're worked up and think we need a change, maybe appeal to the one who can make that change anytime he wants. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Wow. I mean, this verse really, like, tightens the cuffs. I mean, to resist an authority is to oppose the ordinance of God. I mean, for me to flake out on my jury duty, I'm opposing the ordinance of God. Many of you are probably thinking, well, aren't there times when to resist authority is actually to be in obedience with the ordinance of God? Absolutely. I mean, Mary and Joseph would not turn their son over. I mean, the mother of Moses sought to hide him amongst the reeds of the Nile in obedience to God. But, you know, our text, and I ponder why Paul is so strong here. Perhaps in our nature, we need a press in the other direction. You know, don't claim a religious exemption for something that's a personal preference. And if you oppose, you'll receive condemnation among yourselves. You know, the Jews in Jerusalem, they were opposed to Roman authority. Barabbas was accused of being part of an insurrection. Rome finally got tired of those guys. And just as Jesus permitted, General Titus, who would become an emperor, he leveled the place. You know, maybe they should have been reading Romans chapter 13, verse 2. Might have saved their temple. Verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? You want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. You know, I could understand why Paul would think the Roman Christians would be fearful. I mean, the spoils of war were like paraded through the streets of Rome. And that included like countless slaves. Yet Paul says, here's how to respond when you're living in an environment like that. You won't fear if you do what is good. And you'll actually be praised. You know, let's not discount an authority's ability to discern good from evil and friend from foe. You know, Pharaoh readily understood this Hebrew. Joseph was his friend. I mean, a Hebrew had charge of all of Egypt. Darius, he praised Daniel and the God of Daniel. He knew who his friends were, this Jew. And his other satraps and prefects, the lion's got a meal of. Pagan authorities are appointed or established, we might say, by God to reward good and punish evil. Verse 4, for it is the servant of God for good. Governing authorities are the servant of God for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is the servant of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. Governing authorities are God's servant for good. And wow. But think about it. Artaxerxes actually assisted Nehemiah in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. An authority of God for good. You know, there was a persecution of the Christians in Jerusalem. And they spread out to the remote parts of the earth. Guess how they got there? On a Roman road. Traveling under the Pax Romana, right? The Roman peace. Could God be using a governing authority for good? You know, he has a long view of things. We tend to just think like right now. I mean, yeah, it was wrong that the Jews or the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But life was good there. And they talk about the fish that they ate and the leeks and the onions, and they grew and multiplied. And by the time of the Exodus, I mean, they were like a military force that under the leadership of Joshua could go and take the land. You see what I'm getting at? We have a short view of things. God sees different. His ways are not always our ways. Therefore, verse 5, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. You know, there are some grays where different Christians have responded differently to government mandates. You know, there were Quakers who operated safe houses for runaway slaves. It was against the law. The Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 said it's against the law. The government of the United States says it is wrong for you to harbor a runaway slave. But in their conscience, they were doing what was right. And they were prepared to face the consequences. There were other Quakers who just advocated for the abolition of slavery using legal means. One wrote a book. Some people know its title. What would you have done? You know, I'd suggest, Christian, through the study of scriptures, all those pegs, that tension, collect them up. Compare them side by side. When are you compliant? When are you non-compliant? And why? After you've studied the scripture, you can seek the counsel of others. Make sure you're not being biased. And then let your conscience be your guide. I want to end on a positive note. Verse 8. So after Paul commands this, it's an imperative that we be subject to governing authorities. Verse 8, he says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. You know, as a nation, we're more divided than I've ever seen in our life. I think trust and goodwill have waned. You know, love, empathy toward neighbors, respect has been replaced by just coarse and sarcastic rhetoric. And it saddens me. I think some in the church have lost their way in these times. Let's read our verse again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. You know, first, let's return to our first love. Let's recognize the shepherd of our souls is here for us. Come what may. Come what may. And let's allow his love to overflow to all our neighbors, not just those who agree with us. And let's let that love, too, increase our unity in the church. I mean, really, should the church split or be divided internally over politics? You know, red versus blue, donkeys and elephants? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Each one of us has felt the sword of the Word at times, the piercing, cutting, going deep, changing us. Lord, we thank you that even though we're flaky at times and go up and down, even though we're confused and emotions get the better of us, your word doesn't change, and it's pure and it's perfect. Lord, I do pray for myself and for the body here at Grace that we would know how to navigate not only this season, but who knows what awaits us. But in Jesus, we're ready.